Yo, how's it going? Robert DeLong.
You know, and you look like him, you sound like him. So let's see. We'll start with your dad being a drummer. I'm going to fill in some blanks so we don't have to do this. And now, is it Bothell?
Bothell is the word, yeah.
Bothell, right? Which is technically a Seattle suburb.
Well, no one ever asked me what my favorite character in Star Trek is. And
how dare they?
Right. I'm a big Trek nerd, or have been at different points in my life. You're welcome to ask me the question if you want.
Ready? Here we go.
All right.
Robert, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Are you ready?
Shoot.
What is your favorite Star Trek character?
Data.
Why? Well, there's many things we could go there. That seems very obvious to me.
Right, it's the most obvious to me. Data's the robot becoming a man in a way.
And zeros and ones, which you deal in just a little bit.
Right, I feel like, some sort of analog or metaphor for what I do. So,
Exactly. Okay, so this is the eve of the second album. I heard you play a couple of new songs today. And the first thing that everybody's going to want to know, right? Because it's really interesting. You've got the second album coming out and 3.5 years to get to this moment. The thing about your label, and we're going to get to them in a second, that I know better than anybody, is they are patient. They really spend a lot of time with artists figuring it out. But suddenly, not out of nowhere, but there's this song now in heavy rotation on alternative radio, right? Did you ever, you've got this new album coming out, but did you ever think after it's going and going and going and going and all the work and all the EPs and all the singles, that suddenly it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is now really getting to a really huge group of people.
Yeah, I know, I mean, it's wild. I kind of never in my wildest dreams thought any of my music would ever be played on the radio. I kind of never really thought about music that way. I was always just a nerd in my room in headphones working on stuff. And so it's amazing. But, it's cool. I've seen such a huge change and response since the song has been on the radio. And it's been amazing. It's been beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really is. When people start singing along, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. This is my stuff. What's going on here?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, and it's cool because it's a good entry point because, Long Way Down, which has been a big tune for me, is like really, it's very different from a lot of my stuff, but it also, I think, connects really nicely with what I do, and it's been cool. It's been a good thing. Good
okay, ride. Ready? We're going to get evil here. We are going to go into the wild world of genres, but we're going to approach it a different way because, when people write you up, when people talk to you, so, Robert, what do you think of electronic dance music? So, how do you feel? And it's kind of like I'm sitting there and I'm watching what you're doing. And I don't think it's genre-fiable. So, sitting in your room and making tracks and making beats and, using controllers from, from video games and all of that. But you never sat down and said, I want to be a big EDM artist.
No, it all kind of came out of, I was listening to a lot of those things and a lot of those sounds were influencing me and I was excited about it because it was like computer music was breaking through to the mainstream. And so I wanted to take those sounds and reappropriate them but that's the whole thing to me. I've always been too eclectic and kind of tried to free myself of the whole genre thing and allow genres to create new sounds and new types of songs, but using them instead of relying on them, I suppose, or something like that. I think from the outset, I had already created a show, and by the time I was playing out for people, I had like kind of defined what my thing was a little bit. And that was because I played in a lot of bands before that, and so I knew going in I had to be really thorough, and so I think I was lucky because of that. People saw that it was unique and strange to begin with. I guess unique, So that was good, I was lucky. I didn't feel like that pressure to try to, change what it is I do or something. I felt like people were accepting of it pretty early on. I'm confused by it, but accepting.
So I always get to that moment where I say, what's the Glasnost story?
Yeah, Glasnost's incredible. And that all really came about. I was doing residencies at this like weird little club in LA called Los Globos. And, I had brought some friends out who had brought some other friends out who is now one of my managers who used to work with Daniel Glassback at Chrysalis. Apparently after the show, he called up Daniel and was like, send your A&R guy on the West Coast out. next week he came out, and the kind of the rest is history. You know, Daniel came out about a month later to see his show, and then I was signed within the next month. So it was a pretty quick turnaround. It was amazing.
When I'm listening to your music, I was listening now, and I've done a little research. I think marching band, right? And I'm thinking, okay, marching band. Let's go way into the past, and let's think about what a marching band is, right? A marching band requires precision. A marching band requires making a lot of noise, but a marching band is also this cacophony of instruments that all connect. When you were back in marching band, were you all ready? Because you said you were in bands before. Did you have any vision that you would be being like your very own giant monster marching band?
You know, not really. You know, honestly, I had to do marching band in high school because it was a requirement because that was how I got to do jazz band. And I was, you know, really into jazz. But I feel like it was kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, it taught me not only how to, like, you know, be able to move around and play different instruments in time. And, you know, like you were saying, that kind of bombastic thing. But I think the other thing is, you know, I learned a lot about showmanship. You know, that's a big part of being in a marching band. And obviously being a performer, that's the whole thing. It's a show for people, you know. It's more than just playing the music.
Someone named Heidi took you to your first rave.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, I'm watching you play and I'm thinking, you just take this audience. It doesn't matter where they are. You take them out of who they are. Do you remember what you heard?
Oh, no, I literally couldn't remember anything about the tracks that I heard. You know, it was a German house producer that was spinning when it was kind of connected to me, and I literally can't remember the name of the producer or anything. But I just remember thinking, like, you know, 2 hours before that, I thought that, you know, ravey sort of electro house was just, like, the most boring, repetitive thing in the world. And then after that, I was like, I get it. I understand why people come together to do this thing, and it's because it's a community event. And it's like, you know, it's so overwhelming. The bass is there. It's like connecting people. It's amazing.
Songs versus dance music. Let's go there. And let's go wherever you want to go there. But I have this interesting theory that, again, people, when it's the electronic realm, the first thing they assume is it's sample driven and that it's not really a song. You're a songwriter. You write songs. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Totally, yeah. I mean, you know, I came out of the whole songwriter world. I grew up in Seattle, so I was listening to a lot of stuff that was very songwriter-driven, you know, indie pop at the time and stuff like that. And so that's like my whole basis in my world. And so when I came to electronic music, I think that was something that overwhelmed me at first. It was like, this is like instrumental music. But I grew up with jazz, so I could connect with that part of it. And like the idea of like getting into like a zone and like vibing to something. And I feel like what I learned is that, I will produce tons of instrumental dance music on my own, really for nobody, that no one will ever hear. But that's like, to me, how I cut my teeth, discovering new textures, discovering new sounds, discovering new beats. And then I take it back to my, you know, kind of like a 3 and 3.5 minute, song with verses and choruses that are, to me, a way to deliver a message, a way to communicate ideas with people, or to show off some sort of unique sound set, you know, in a digestible form for the common listener, you know.
So that is the beauty of where electronic music and where music is these days, is that the mix of artists that get to work together is unheard of. What percentage of people come to you and send you an email and say, man, I want to work on something, and then are there people that you just go, oh my God, I would die to work with, and then suddenly you're saying, wait a minute, this is happening. I can't believe this. This is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've started getting into the whole collaborating thing a bit more, and this new record actually is a lot of, I've worked with a lot of different producers and stuff on different tracks and songwriters, and it's been fun, you know, because obviously the whole thing started with just me alone, you know, in headphones in my room. But the coolest thing about collaborations to me is, you know, I found that it's like, anybody that had like a cool name or something that I'd heard of, working with them was always interesting, but the ones that were the most interesting to me were working with somebody I'd never heard of. You get in a room and suddenly there's like this connection and you guys write a song that both of you like and you learn something from each other. I go back home, I have all these new skills I didn't know about things I couldn't even imagine, so it's great.
So one of the quotes that I saw in a recent interview, which I thought was really interesting, so I want to go just a little deeper, you said that it's more focused. You also said that the new album has more traditional pop songs, but it still sounds like you.
I'm a little bit too fidgety and ADD to not just mess with everything that I touch. But yeah, you know, I mean, that is the whole thing to me. It's, the whole idea of taking songs, especially for this album, you know, is taking songs and taking something traditional but still doing the weird things that I do to things. And you know, I've kind of slowly developed what is my sound and what is the things that I like to do and I'm good at, and hopefully expanded on it with this thing.
Okay, we talked about Star Trek. Let's talk about Twin Peaks.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you thought about, because there is a new film coming out, right? So have you thought about the concept of, like, what you would do if you had the opportunity to be Mr. I can never pronounce Mr. Italian Badamante's last name, right? Because I watched it when it was on. I still watch it. I've even been, well, you're from, you understand that I've been up the mountain, and I've had cherry pie in the diner.
I think Twin Peaks does something that no show, certainly up to that point, ever did. And to me, it's like, it takes, like, it's a very artistic kind of form and whatever, but it like creates this aura. You know, it's David Lynch. It just creates this, like, this sense of foreboding always. Like, and you're always like, it's like the same reason I like techno. It's like, or, you know, like dark techno or something. It's like there's always like this terrible, creepy undercurrent, even when there's like things are happy. And, you know, it's like it kind of shows both sides of everything in that way. And then the other thing is the whole kind of surreal aspect. I love just like everything with the Black Lodge is so cool. It's just like, you know, those like dream sequences are like, they really, you know, it really feels like it's from a part of your brain you didn't know was there, you know, something like creeping around the back, you know.
Video games. You went from using the controllers to taking control.
That's a nice way to put it.
So it just seems appropriate, and we know the soundtrack is good.
Right, yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge gamer growing up. My parents were, like, restrictive of my video game time, which I'm really happy about, because that meant that I
spent other things.
Right, I spent all my time on the computer, you know, working on programming and then eventually music. So yeah. But, yeah, you know, I think that I'm so used to using controllers for video games that I'm better at them than maybe using them for, maybe using a keyboard or something, like, for playing music. So it made a lot of sense for me to reappropriate things that I already was familiar with and accustomed to and knew how to use to make music that's, you know, new and reflects that kind of in a way.
And the other thing that you've talked about recently, which, again, I'm very deep in this, is the way that people discover music. So visuals, which is perfect for you because I'm watching on stage, you're all about the full thing. But if this was 6 years ago, right, you would have had to try to get your video on MTV. Now, where do people go to find music? They go to YouTube, right? So the visual is almost as important as the track. So this is not the same way of saying it, but when you're doing what you do and you're doing tracks, I would imagine in your head you're already visualizing some of the words you're going to put up there, some of the cues, some of the way things are going to look, right?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, as I'm designing tracks, I do my best to try not to think about the live show too much so I can make the track as cool as I can possibly make it, and then go back and, because, you know, I mean, recording is a very different thing than the live experience, but then going back and trying to retroactively find a really cool way to represent it, you know, visually live, not only with video, but also with just the performance. And to me, that's the whole thing, is if you're not putting on a show that people can see, what's the point of having a show that people can see? You know what I mean? Then you can just press play and have a good day.
So, I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.